Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and as always on this program, the phone lines are open for you. We'd welcome your calls right now to 844-322-2742. That number, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or if you're dealing with some difficult issue in life, we'd love to hear from you right now. So call 844-322-2742 because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, welcome to the mics today. Certainly glad to have you with us.
Hey, great to be with you guys, as always.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. We've been talking about Jesus all month, and I wanted to end our month on this passage out of the book of Philippians, starting in verse 7. This is Paul writing to this group at Philippi, saying, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." So we've talked all month about Jesus. We've looked at all the various claims that he made about himself, the fact that he claimed to have the same name that God the Father has, the great I Am, all of the I Am statements, the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate, the good shepherd, all of the things that he said about himself, and then all the things that the apostles said about Jesus. And it is an incredible picture that we get of this man named Jesus, who he is, the fact that he was there at the beginning, that he spoke and things came to be, that he's the one that holds the world together, that he is the preeminent one, that he is greater than angels, greater than anything, superior to all. This is the Jesus. And when Paul met him, he said, "Man, I'm letting go of everything else for the opportunity, for just the privilege of being able to know Jesus Christ." And I think that's where the Holy Spirit is taking all of us as far as our relationship with God is concerned, where our singular ambition becomes wanting to know Christ in all aspects of who he is.
Yeah, you know, I was speaking with a young lady here in West Texas today. She was looking for some help in her personal life, and so I shared Jesus with her, and she kept saying, "Well, you know, I'm not very religious." And I said, "Well, neither am I. This is not religion. This is Jesus. So we're talking about a personal relationship with him where we open the door of our lives to this person known as Jesus, and he transforms us from the inside out." And she said, "Well, I do like to study the Bible from a literary standpoint." And I said, "Well, you know, I mean, as great as the Bible is, we're primarily talking here about a personal relationship with Jesus." And we went on talking together for about an hour, and it was very difficult for her to separate the idea of just being religious or getting to know a book versus getting to know a person. And Bob, I really believe that we have been poised here for a new generation of people who they don't want mom and dad's stodgy religion. They want a relationship that is real and genuine. And when we get to share the truth that this is about a personal connection with Christ, him living in us and us living in him, not having a rightness of our own derived from what we do, but having a free gift of rightness. Man, that this connection with Christ is what the whole thing is about. It's not about rules. It's about letting a person rule, Jesus Christ, in our hearts by faith. Man, that's where it's at.
That's exactly where it's at. Paul learned that. All the other apostles learned that, and that's what Christians have been learning for the past 2,000 years, that when it gets down right to the nitty-gritty, it's all about Jesus. It's all about letting go of the things of this world so that we could know him in his fullness.
Absolutely. Good stuff, guys. Thank you for kicking off this particular broadcast with the encouraging news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a Bible question, if you have some issue you're working through, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. is the number to dial in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, you know, here at Basic Gospel, our purpose is to help people hear, believe, and live the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And this message, the one that we share with you every day on the air and online, and to say thank you for everyone who supports this ministry with your prayers and with your gifts, we want to make it possible for you to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a deeper way than ever. And that, of course, is through our 30-day devotional. It's called Jesus, a 30-day devotional, and it's our gift back to you to say thank you for your contribution to support this ministry on the air and online in the month of January. We want to hear from you. We would love for you to join us by making a gift today at basicgospel.net, big prominent link right on the homepage. Just click the donate button, basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us. Once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. And guys, let's see who's on the phone right now.
Hi, Bob. Something that just puzzles me. When I watched the inauguration services, there were two ministers there. One, I believe, gave an opening prayer and one gave a closing prayer. And they prayed a marvelous, excellent prayer, which I really love. But the problem with the prayer is that they didn't close it in Jesus' name. So does God answer prayers? If you don't pray in Jesus' name, will he even hear the prayer? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, what a great question. And that was one of the things that I noticed on Inauguration Day as well. And I know a lot of people who stand up and pray in public and government affairs such as that, they don't want to offend. So they never speak the name of Jesus out loud. And I wish that wasn't the case, but it is the case. That name Jesus is offensive to so
yeah,
many.
Truly.
But he certainly shouldn't be here in the United States. So, Andrew, what about those types of prayers that are generic? I think one of the guys prayed in our great community's name. I mean, didn't even name God, but just in the name of our great community, something along those lines. Those certainly aren't prayers that align with the gospel. They certainly aren't prayers that align with God's will for man through the person and work of Jesus Christ, are they?
Right. And so I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said God's will for us. And then secondly, in Jesus' name, these are the two ways that we're encouraged to pray. Look, it's not about three magic words that you tack on to the end of a prayer and somehow there's a Lamborghini in your parking lot and you've got a mansion all of a sudden. That's not the point of it. Let's look at 1 John 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. 1 John 5. So I want to hone in on this idea of according to his will, because again, it's not just about words, it's about the heart of God and the agenda of God. And prayer is entering into what God longs for us, what God desires for us. So, you know, we can go back to the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. So we've got two ideas: God's will and in the name of Jesus. And right there, we're seeing what this is about. You know, if I were assigned to represent the President of the United States overseas and I get on the airplane having this huge file of his agenda, his desires for me to represent the USA, and then I get across the Atlantic and I, you know, on the airplane, I'm scribbling out all kinds of my own ideas, and then I land in this other country and start to talk from the napkins and talk from the notes that I've made, and then I'm speaking in my will, in my name, not in the name of the president. So what we're talking about here is the heart of God, the will of God, the name of Jesus. It's all one and the same. And so when Paul prays for the Ephesians, Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be opened. I pray that you'll see how ginormous God's love is. Look, that's God's agenda. That's God's heart for us. He wants us to know how big his love is. So this is the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. It's not about tacking on magical words at the end, but it is about the heart of Christ, the will of Christ, the will of God. That's where it's at.
Yes, indeed. And boy, I would love to see, you know, our ministers, our pastors, when they pray in public, to actually pray in the name of Jesus Christ, to
yes.
not allow the culture to dictate how they're going to pray, not bend to the culture, not cave, but to stand up and boldly proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and we're praying today in his name because he is God's will for mankind.
Amen.
And I'm going to get on a rant here just for a second.
Well, just go ahead on.
And my soapbox is here. I've stepped up on it, and here we go. We have seen so much over the last 6 months as far as the election is concerned, and people getting on social media platforms and talking about the need for Christians to stand up and all of this sort of thing. And all of those posts, all of those rants, very seldom did I ever see anyone mention Jesus.
Right.
I saw a mention God. I saw a mention that America is built on godly principles and godly this and God that, but hardly ever did I see Jesus ever mentioned, or did I ever see the gospel ever invoke that we need to get people back to the gospel of Jesus Christ, back to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, back to the message that has the power to save. It's all about principles. It's all about laws. It's all about this. And God is saying to us today, he is speaking to us through his Son, and he is calling people to repent, change their mind about Jesus, and to receive him as life and experience a newness of life the world knows nothing about. So I hope and I pray that we'll see more boldness out of pulpits, more boldness out of Christians everywhere, calling people to Jesus and to Jesus alone.
That's Amen. A good call.
I'm going to get off the soapbox now. We can go on.
844-322-2742. If you'd like to respond with what Bob just said, go ahead and give us a call right now. And the number again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Waco, Texas, and talk to Robert. Hi, Robert.
Hello. How you doing?
We're doing okay. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Well, basically, my question was, like, I was reading in Revelation due to a lot of things that are going around, changes and sickness and all this chaos, and trying to get an idea, trying to get a little spiritual and see if it's any answers in Revelation. And I was reading through it, and does it speak about the Bible in general or John's book? I mean, what does it refer to?
So your question is, what does the book of Revelation really address? What is the subject matter there?
Okay. Yes.
Well, that's a great question, and it gets down to one word, one name, the name of Jesus. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. We try to read it with our newspaper and our Bibles kind of next to one another and try to line up. Is the book of Revelation, is chapter 6, talking about this story that we're reading in the news today? And I think that kind of approach and method to reading Revelation stirs up a lot of confusion. But right at the beginning, John lays out the theme, the story of Revelation, and it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's good news, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Bob, that when we look at the book of Revelation, we need to be thinking about Jesus as our rescuer, Jesus as our stability. He's able to make us stand. He never deserts us. He's always faithful to us. He'll never delete us from the book of life. There are churches who are warned about losing focus. They're shifting their focus away from Jesus. They've lost sight of their first love. Maybe they're getting into religiosity. Maybe they're getting into immorality. But the bottom line is they don't have their eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, there have been theories, Robert, about, you know, Revelation has to mean this, or, you know, this part's talking about this time in history and this part's talking about this. And, you know, there's lots of people putting out their theories and their ideas. But I would just encourage you, as Bob said, to look at the book of Revelation as a grand battle between death and life, between sin and righteousness, between Satan and Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is victorious, and he's our rescuer. And whether it was tribulation 2,000 years ago as the early church was persecuted, or tribulation today in the underground church around the world in places like Asia and the Middle East, or tribulation 100 years from now, the bottom line is, who's the answer? Who's the rescuer? Who's the one who comes for us in a literal physical return? His name is Jesus Christ, and he's the one that we look to. And so that is the big story of the book of Revelation.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, we have open lines for you, friends, 844-322-2742. Just a quick note that in addition to our radio broadcast, there are other ways to connect with Basic Gospel every day. You can connect online on our website, the homepage there at basicgospel.net. You can watch for the RID live feed link that will appear just before 3 p.m. every day. And adjacent to that on the homepage, you will see the links to both our Facebook and YouTube video streams. You can also hear the daily broadcast on the Basic Gospel app. Of course, any way you connect with Basic Gospel is a good way, and I hope you're listening and that you will call with any question or concern that you might have right now. Well, guys, another call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, I was listening to different radio stations, and this announcer on the Progressive station said these Christians don't understand their Bible, that if Jesus never said anything was wrong with abortion, and the Bible says that life begins with the first breath. So I guess in the Mosaic Law there was some information on aborting a child who was fathered by another person. There's antithetical verses too as well, but I was just shocked at this, that anybody would say such things. I know my Bible pretty well. You could always know better, but I'm just amazed how that, I don't know. Listen, this is what I heard. It shocked me. It sounds horrible. These babies are so cute, and they're God's creatures from the minute they're conceived. Anyway, I don't know if it's a question, but thanks.
Well, it's certainly a, scratch-the-head statement. Yeah, you know, we hear so much out there in media today from all different angles, and sometimes it's just shocking. We just can't believe it's coming out of the mouths of people, and I think that's what our caller was experiencing there. But I think the Word of God is pretty clear about the sanctity of life, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, Genesis talks about this intrinsic value that we all have. Let us make man in our image. That's how we were originally created in Genesis 1. And so, you know, God thinks the world of us, literally. We are his workmanship. We're his creation. And yes, there's been a fall. And yes, there's a restoration of life through Christ. But God so loved the world. And that includes babies, of course. And you say, well, you know, I just don't know about when life begins and all of that. Well, Jeremiah speaks to that very well. The first chapter of Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, this is, about a prophet, but it certainly translates that God knows us in the womb and before we're formed. You know, the book of Psalms, this famous passage in Psalm 139, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So there's this value attributed to us as being human beings, as being God's creation. And I think that when some people just look at an unborn baby and say, well, they're worth nothing, they're disposable, it's certainly not compatible with what God has said in the scriptures. I mean, even in the Old Testament, there was a penalty, which was actually death. When you took a child's life, you see this in the book of Exodus, there was a penalty for that, which was not pretty. And so I think God takes it very seriously. He cares very deeply for unborn babies, and I think anyone who's saying otherwise is dead wrong about the heart of God and about the consistency of Scripture on this issue.
Absolutely. So we certainly appreciate that call. And Andrew, thank you for those keen insights. Mary Jo is on the line, and she has a question about a good Bible verse to put on a Valentine's card with Valentine's coming around the corner. Do you have any good verses that would be a help to her? I can think of one out of 1 John chapter 4. In verse 10, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I think that's one of a few that are really targeting the awesomeness of God's love for us, demonstrated to us in the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and in that same chapter, I guess 9 verses later or so, you've got we love because he first loved us. I mean, you can't go wrong with 1 John 4. God is love, and that's the theme there. So I'm with you. I think those are beautiful passages where people get to see on a day where romantic love is typically celebrated, we can be celebrating agape love, God's perfect love with no strings attached, unconditional favor and love of God. That's what we can ultimately be celebrating, any one of us, on Valentine's Day. So 1 John 4 is a keeper for sure.
Yes, indeed. Mary Jo, I hope that helps, and thanks for calling.
Yes, indeed. A quick question from Jim. He says that God rescued us from the dominion of sin. Hallelujah. But when we look at our human habits and vices, it seems to me very few people change their behavior. It's easy to point to booze and drugs. What about coveting, worry, lust, heart issues, and so forth? Are we ever set free from those on the earth?
Well, you know, first, I think we got to call those what they are. Those are deeds of the flesh. You see this in Galatians 5, and, you know, there's things there that he mentioned, and there's some others, outbursts of anger, the idea of selfish ambition, drunkenness, being hostile toward other people. All these things are deeds of the flesh, and I guess what I would say is, all right, what's the flesh? Well, the flesh is the old ways of thinking, the old ways of reacting, the blowing up at people, the holding on tight to your rights and expectations, and when somebody rattles your cage, you shout back at them. All of this is fleshly reactions, but here's the great news. We are not the flesh. We're children of God. We're dead to sin. We're alive to God. We've got this new heart. So yeah, we struggle with the flesh, but we are not the flesh. We are one with Jesus, and he's our victory moment by moment. He's our victory when those thoughts come our way.
Well, we appreciate that question. I always love when people ask about the practical living out of our faith, those struggles that we encounter, and knowing that the Word of God gives some clear answers and gives us hope and a sense that we can overcome and experience the victory that Jesus Christ won for us through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Absolutely. Well, great stuff on this broadcast today. Andrew, thank you for being with us. And Bob, as always, great answers. And I know that our listeners are benefiting. And friends, again, we love hearing from you. So don't ever miss a chance to pose your question to us here at Basic Gospel. And thanks for being with us today, by the way. And please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, and we need your prayers and gifts to keep the good news of grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. To join in supporting Basic Gospel, just click donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift, we're going to send you a copy of our latest resource called Jesus, a 30-day devotional. Make your gift anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, a big prominent link right on the homepage, and we hope that you will join us today. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry staff, and with our thanks to Andrew Farley, as always, for being with us on this particular broadcast today, I'm Bob Davis, and we'll see you back tomorrow at the same time to continue in our Friday teaching series called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.